What's up?
Hello.
Hey.
Welcome to Movie Schmovie.
Movie Schmovie.
A special edition.
Episode number 17.
EP.017. Oh, zero. I forgot.
Remember, we had three digits because we want to be very optimistic.
Movie Schmovie. EP.017.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
It sounds nice, so nice.
Zing to it.
If you heard last week's episode, we did tease the idea that we were going to be doing a special Halloween-themed podcast this week. It's going to be geared around our collective favorite horror films and also a couple kind of standalone ones that we kind of chalk up to being one of our favorites that maybe the other person didn't really agree with. But we do have a guest on the show today, and basically it's one of my best friends. Her name is Lauren. She's a big movie buff, and she's usually my confidant in horror conversations. So welcome, Lauren, to the show.
Hi.
You don't have to wave. It's not a video podcast. It's only sound. They can't hear you waving.
I'm very excited.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. I'm not going to lie to you.
It's going to be a lot to talk about. So just in the what is that word? I can't think of the word. In the best interest, or
in the interest of time.
In the interest, see,
in look the at that. Of, right, look
Maybe
at that.
Maybe we should just have you check our grammar.
Right.
In the interest of time, we're going to actually get started, kind of right into it. Like I said, we kind of got together and looked at our lists. You know, kind of some surprising listings on the horror films that you may have, or I did, or Lauren even put some together. But there are a handful of them that definitely were all in common across basically all three of our lists.
Yeah.
And these are things that a lot of listeners probably going to put on their top tens if they were going to create one.
And if you don't, you're a jackass.
And I'd ask you please to stop listening to our podcast.
Your shit bag.
We revoke your invitation. So we're going to start it off kind of going through some of those films. Right. And I think to kick it off, I think I'm going to just start talking about, we talked about it earlier tonight, Ronald and I, and I think that I'm going to throw Jaws.
Jaws, out there. Absolutely.
Not really in most conversations. I mean, like, some people are like, what, Jaws? Horror movie?
Right, Jaws.
I mean, but I feel like you made a really good point earlier when we were chatting. It's like a movie that changes the way that you think about something in your life that you really can touch and feel.
Any body of water that I couldn't see the bottom of, I thought a shark was in as a kid. Like, anything. Anything that I looked at. A pool, any body of water that I couldn't see the bottom of. It scared the shit out of me.
Right. And but I mean, like bathtubs, though, you were okay with? Or
Yeah.
But if there were suds in there, was that a bad thing?
There may be a shark in there.
No soap, so just clean bath water.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Another thing that was really cool about Jaws that a lot of people don't talk about, a couple things. The acting, I thought, was great. I thought the acting was great for Jaws. Also, it was the first time when I was a kid that I noticed that soundtrack played a role in just the environment, that the setup. You know, the intense music, the orchestrated music.
Oh, yeah, John Williams music.
Petrifying, yeah. So,
it's iconic. Almost as much as the movie in a weird way.
Right. This is important.
Yeah, but yeah, you talk about the acting. I think Roy Scheider, just like the whole scene with him and the young boy at the dinner table.
Yeah.
I feel like we talked about that scene when we did our podcast for Super 8 because it kind of tapped into some of those emotions like that Spielberg did so well amongst the family, even... You know, kind of mixed in with the ongoings of like this shark attack, in this small town. But yeah, it's like the little subtle things that really made Jaws stand apart from some of the other films coming out in its day. And also just for what it is. I mean, like, it made somebody's career, in terms of Steven Spielberg. And over time, I mean, it came out before either one of us were born. But I mean, it still holds up if you just watch. Like, every time I go to the beach, like, it's weird, but I want to watch Jaws.
Right.
Because it scares the shit out of me still.
It scares the shit out of me.
You know, but I love the water. I'm like... Yeah. Like you, I don't know if you ever got over that fear or not, but
yeah, a little bit.
Yeah,
big waves, can't see the bottom of the water.
Yeah,
scared.
Okay,
it's a simple equation.
So we're gonna move to the next one now, and I'm gonna ask Lauren to give her 2 cents on this because I know that this is one of your favorites, and I think it's probably like your number one if I'm not mistaken. You can talk. You don't have to shake
your
head. Which is Kubrick's The Shining.
Yes, absolutely. I think that a lot of times with scary movies especially, what makes me love them is how I felt watching them. And I know The Shining is one of the first ones that, actually, weirdly, I watched with my grandmother. She used to be into horror movies, too. And first of all, just loved watching that with my grandmother. But also, just remembering truly being anxious and scared for the first time and just watching, you know, when you start to see Jack Nicholson really go insane and you know, like, something is coming, and Wendy starts realizing that she's trapped in this hotel and her husband is going and she's got this kid to get out of there and something's happening to her son, the hotel's affecting her son as well. Just all that dynamic, it's my favorite.
Ring is a great movie.
That's not what we're talking about.
Shining is a
great movie. Way to ruin it. Number three that we're going to talk about next, you just shot the gun. God damn it, Ronald.
I do this all the time.
God damn it.
Shining is a great movie. Stanley Kubrick.
Do I need to get you an egg sandwich?
No. Stanley Kubrick is amazing for a couple reasons. I think that one thing that goes super duper underrated about that guy is he knew how to create good, just everything. Like, everything was good. The dialogue was always sharp.
Yeah.
Soundtrack was always beast. The actors. One thing I always wanted to say, I've always wanted to say, because it's never really come up, horror movies haven't really come up in a conversation, is that acting, I feel like nobody's ever won an award for a horror film. And this is one of those films that I feel like Shining should have got a lot more awards, because it was just so well acted.
Yeah.
Jack Nicholson is he's a man. Like, he's incredible. Shelley Duvall, come on, like, incredible. Both incredible and
amazing. Yeah, I mean, so. I definitely have it on my list. I don't have it as high as you guys or as Lauren did. I feel like The Shining definitely is a different kind of horror film. It's like, it kind of, I think, in terms of mainstream, like, psychological horror thriller, like, that's kind of, like, that's where you set the standard with that film. And those, you know, generally, those are films that I can get down with, but they're not usually, like, my favorite kinds of films.
Mm-hmm.
But the big thing that you guys both were kind of hinting at is, like, the acting is incredible.
Yeah.
And I mean, and actually it also, like, it's a scary movie, and like it's very creepy, and like a lot of scenery and specific shots that if you ask 10 people, you may get 10 different answers about what the scariest part of that movie was. Mm-hmm. And that's when you know you're talking about a movie that is really effective. But you also see how all this crazy shit that's happening in the movie affects all of the main characters.
Right.
Like Jack Nicholson's character and Wendy and Danny, and you know, we talked about Danny last week talking about Paranormal Activity.
Right.
With his imaginary friend, but you see the effect of all this craziness going on all three of them, and then the, like, them crossing into one another, which is what makes it so scary, because it's a family, and, you know, when you mix that kind of stuff with, like, the family dynamic as basically well as Kubrick did, you come off with a film that, you know, obviously a lot of people put on their top 10 list.
Right. Shining.
So let's go ahead and just do it, since you just kind of gave it away.
I did do that.
So what's it called, Ronald?
The Ring.
The Ring.
It is a remake.
Yeah, not the original.
Not the original, which was also incredible, but the American version with Naomi Watts. Very good movie.
I feel like you say that as your first line about every movie we talk about.
Right.
And it's okay to laugh.
I think because, man... I know what it is. Only talk about things that I like.
Yeah.
I seldom talk about things that I don't like.
Okay.
So that's what it is. And this is one of those movies that I enjoyed. I saw it in the movies. It was petrifying to me.
What did you like about it?
What did I like about it? What didn't I like about it? What I liked about it was I loved that the monster girl or whatever... It had that staticky effect.
Yeah.
So I always felt like if I was watching TV one day, that she would just come out of the screen, and there were a lot of really cool scenes with her.
Okay.
And that tape, the videotape, I was always afraid of that tape. All the, like, imagery that flashed on the screen, it was...
So disturbing.
So disturbing.
I remember when that movie came out, I was interning for a promotional company that did, like, film promotions, who I ended up working for, and that was, like... The first time I was actually a part of doing, like, a promotional, like, word-of-mouth thing, where literally the promotional item, I went to Towson University, and we were given just blank tapes, unmarked, to put in all the student lockers throughout the student union.
What?
Like, randomly throughout campus.
That's incredible.
And it was an incredible idea, because that movie caught on, like, a month later, and kids got these tapes, and, like, holy shit, that's what that tape was. And they start seeing the, you know, the commercials for it. And I mean, that is incredible, what made that film. Yeah, it was awesome.
Wow.
Like, they killed it with that film. And that movie was a huge success, obviously, with the sequels that came from it. But
I hated that little kid.
Yeah, yeah. He is. No, you're talking about the little boy.
The little boy. He is motherfucker. He's one of those little kids that's really smart. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like Dakota Fanning.
Yeah, he looks too smart.
Right, like, right. He's like, oh, mommy.
He may beat me at like a mashing of the mind or something. No, but one of the things about The Ring, I mean, honestly, I would say that in the past 10 years, that's probably one of maybe two or three movies that genuinely scared the shit out of me in the theaters.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, it happened in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
With the opening scene with the two young girls at the house, right. And she opens the closet and sees that girl's face, and the music, it scared... I literally mimicked that girl's face in the theater. That is exactly what I look like. And that is when you know, okay, this movie worked.
Right, it
and
did.
Just from beginning to end, Brian Cox is in the film, Martin Henderson, just up and down, I feel like just the pacing of that film was really, really well done. Because mm-hmm. it gets kind of slow at points, like where it's building up, but then it kind of like drops you a little line of like fear or like a scary thing or like, you know, another piece of the mystery that she's putting together about what this tape is.
Yeah.
And it gives you a sense of urgency once you start to get those little hints.
Well, because she's running out of time.
Yeah, exactly. Like yeah. we have a timetable that we're working with. And yeah, I just think that it was done really well. And I mean, it definitely is. I don't scare easily in a theater or at home or anything.
Me either.
But it's one of the few ones that really, really got me.
Definitely.
So The Ring, yeah. So next one we're going to talk about, we actually did a review recently on for the remake / prequel of a remake. Was that right?
Right.
It's called The Thing, but we're talking about the John Carpenter thing. Right?
Adios mio. I love that movie.
And just because I've had a request for it, would you mind doing another Keith David impression?
Okay. We got to get this thing out of here, these motherfuckers. Come through the door. We got to get our guns.
Dude, it's scary how good,
good
that
good
sounds.
Impression.
He has the greatest voice of all time.
Have you practiced that?
No.
I don't believe it.
Oh, yes. Because he's in Saints Row. Which is an Xbox game.
Oh, okay.
And he's like a gang leader, and he talks constantly. So every time he would say something, I'd just repeat his voice.
Got it. You've gotten some practice.
I do an
recently.
Impression over and over and over again.
Okay, fair enough.
The thing is, it shook me up how great it looked, even to this day.
And just to repeat, you just recently saw it.
Saw it. One of the grossest films I've ever seen. It was so gross. It was just flesh.
Especially when you consider the year it came out.
Right, right.
Because I know one of your big problems with films is, like, you know, the use of CGI, which we felt like the remake / sequel, prequel, did a little too heavily. But, like, a lot of that stuff in the original film was really done through real effects, you know, real prosthetics, you know, animatronics, whatever.
Yeah.
And not to mention, you know, we've mentioned, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but just Kurt Russell, I feel like, just is awesome.
You talk about pacing of a movie, it was immediate, like within the first 10, 15 minutes, the drama begins. And I think that that's one thing that a lot of new movies lack is I think what happens is movies get kind of full of themselves. They they try to become too many things.
Yeah.
The Thing knew what it was. It was a horror film that was fast paced and unrelenting. And that's how a good horror movie should be.
And not to mention an ending that doesn't let you feel truly at rest about what happened. Because if you remember, like, you know, Keith David and Kurt Russell's characters, like, they're just there. And they don't really know whether or not the other one is, like, real anymore or whether they're possibly infested or taken over by the Thing. But it's, like, it's one of those films that doesn't have that nice bookend on it.
Right.
You know, which is... I always like that. I mean, some movies are way too aware of how clever they're trying to be in their endings. And you see it. You read it super easily. And it's, like, this is not a film that... gave off that kind of impression at all,
you know.
In the last scene, and it's like, oh damn, all that work, and yet we still don't know. Like, are they? And they're just fine with it, just drinking their alcohol, hanging out in the snow. It's like, fuck it, let's just go with it.
Yeah,
you know. And it's kind of like, I don't know, I kind of like the way that ended.
So I'm gonna confess that I've only seen the first half of it since your guys' podcast for the remake. I was inspired to watch it. I hadn't seen it, so I have seen up to the part just after they've discovered the two-headed thing. And I remember I started to fall asleep the last time I tried to watch the end of it, or the middle of it, I should say. And the guy was starting to say that he doesn't think that the Thing was really dead, or that he doesn't think that... he thinks that parts of it can still affect them. So I know that it's done something to another person on their team. So you just ruined the ending for me, but
you're very welcome.
I'm going to see the end of it. That's what you get.
That's what you get for not listening to us and watching that shit before we do this. All right, you get what's coming to you. We're going to move on to the next one, which actually, again, it's weird, man, how all these movies we've seen recently, we've kind of dropped little tags for these films in there, but it's just how it works. But I'm going to throw out Poltergeist.
Okay.
I brought it up when we were talking about Paranormal Activity 3, just in kind of some of the nods to the film from 1982.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, I was like a year old when it came out, so I didn't see it until a few years later. But a film that I feel like not only holds up, but kind of gives you, again, I keep talking about like how effective horror films can be when you have a family,
mm-hmm.
you know, and in a house that could have been my house, and with a family that could have been my family, you know, they just happened to move to this house that was built on this barrier ground, you know, which is completely out of their control. You know, it's not just like a weird haunted house movie. There's so many things that come into effect, and you know, with me personally, as a fanboy of Steven Spielberg, like the fact that he had anything to do with this movie always helps. And there's always been rumors of like his hand and how heavy his hand was with the making of this film,
right?
Like kind of taking over some of the directing responsibilities from Tobe Hooper. But at the end of the day, whoever directed this film or whoever had as much say in it as they did, I feel like it's made a really effective film with one of the most iconic scenes. It's like, you know, it's exactly like of Carol Ann, like looking at the television with the little static. I mean,
that
scared the shit out of me when I was a kid. Because when we talked about it, I think a little bit last week, like when I was a kid, we didn't have all this overnight programming on TVs, you know, where there was all these infomercials that were advertising. Like when the network went off the air, it went off the air. And like if you fell asleep with your TV on because you did not have a sleep timer and you woke up and that static was going, I was looking around the room,
your,
you know,
mind
like
immediately goes there.
Yeah, it's like, oh my god, like, are they here? I don't know, because I mean, she said they're here. Like, is that happening here now? Or
because of the movie, I used to have this recurring dream that I was watching TV, and I'd like sit down to watch it, and then static, and I couldn't control it. It was really loud. I couldn't turn it off.
Right.
I mean, it's not the same thing, but it was just that scene definitely shook me up, and I don't remember seeing every portion of the movie. That's the part that I remember.
Did you see it? Have you seen it since you originally seen it?
I have not seen it since I was like 16, man.
Gotcha.
But I do remember. If it has that much of an effect on me to this day, I gotta put it on the list.
Yeah, it's like one of those movies that like it doesn't come on TV as much as I kind of wish it did.
Right.
But like, I feel like I've seen it on TV in the past couple weeks on one of the like AMC or something like that for their horror marathon that they do. But
mm-hmm.
it is something like that you can watch, and it kind of is one of those movies that I can sit down if I just catch it in the middle and watch the rest of it and kind of just stick with it.
Right.
And also just like the chemistry between Jo Beth Williams and Craig T. Nelson as the parents in that family. And just like, you know, they were hip. They were cool. Like they were young parents in the 80s, you know, like they smoked pot, you know, and they were just like they were so cool and in love.
Yeah.
And just seeing what this kind of supernatural thing can do to not only their house and their safety and their well-being, but also to like their relationship. And you know, it's just really cool in how many levels that movie works, in my opinion.
Definitely.
But yeah, what do you want to throw another one out? I don't know, we have a
Dawn of the Dead remake.
Was that a question that you kind of went up at
the Dawn of the Dead remake? Dawn of the Dead remake. Yes.
Okay.
Dawn of the Dead remake. It to me, I hate remakes, and we talked about this before.
We do, all the time.
But Dawn of the Dead remake was good. It was
more than good. It was fucking awesome.
Zack Snyder directed it. Amazingly executed. It kind of... one thing I really love about zombie movies that I just started to appreciate was how amazing chaos is portrayed in these situations. And if it's done well enough, it starts to make you feel weird.
Yeah.
You think, what would I have done with a zombie outbreak? Would I have done what Ving Rhames did? Would I have done what these other characters did in the midst of this chaos? And that's one thing that I love about this movie in particular. I felt like I was along with the ride.
Yeah.
And that's why it was so good to me.
I feel like the opening scene just sucks you in when they're right after they kind of show them with their neighbor, the little neighbor girl, and how they're friendly with her. And then the next scene, you see her standing in their bedroom. And, you know, as the audience, you can see clearly that her face is ripped away partially.
Right, right.
But they are still groggy. And, you know, the chaos of her getting out of the house and getting in the car and seeing, like, the craziness in the neighborhood, it just... I'm hooked.
Right, immediately. And like I said, that's what makes a horror movie a good horror movie. Fast pacing. Especially when it's something so chaotic, you know.
Well, that opening shot, even after you see the little girl, like when Sarah Polley's like running out of the house and she hits the car, and it's like that still cam, like hooked to the front of the car shot. That is awesome. And then when she gets on the highway and it's the overhead shot, and you see the chaos, and you see like that one shot. I forget what it was. It was like a car coming out of an intersection, and it hits that gas truck, and that explosion.
Yeah, it explodes.
You just have an overview of just like how chaotic it is. And the funny thing is about that film, like we talk about it being a zombie film because it is a zombie film.
Yeah.
In the film, they never once say the word zombie.
Right.
And, you know, I'm a dork, but I have, like, the unrated DVD, and, like, on the back of the DVD, it actually says zombie, which was really weird. Like, right. A little factoid. I remember looking up when I got the DVD, because, like, I remember reading an interview with Zack Snyder, the director, about how it was obviously a remake of George Romero's film, but, you know, it had its own touch to it. But he wasn't trying to, like, kind of step on the... Or bite the hand that feeds, I think, is what he said. So it kind of had a different take where they weren't just flat out saying these are zombies, because obviously there are different things about these zombies than films that came out back when Romero was in, you know, control of the whole genre. But
that's kind of like the show. I know this isn't a movie, but Walking Dead, it's kind of the same way. They don't call them zombies. It's because, like, it's, you know, it's that's what it is, but... It's pretty cool that they don't call it that.
They just call them walkers.
Yeah, yeah. Which I really love about it, but...
You know, and that brings up something, too, because, like, we talk about remakes, and, like, you and I have discussed it a couple times. Like, I'm usually all for remakes. I'm open to it, but I have a very, very harsh, like, judging scale when I go into it.
This is news to me.
No, I'm down for a remake, and we've said this on a previous podcast, but I judge it very heavily. Like, we'll talk about another movie later that was a remake that we have in consideration for this list. But Dawn of the Dead, as a remake, I'm excited to see what somebody might add to a film, you know, and that's my judge, is when I go see it. It has to add something to it, or it has to develop something about, like, the mythology or the legend or whatever that the anchor of the film is. And I just felt like this film, both in terms of the actual filmmaking style, like with what Zack Snyder does, I think he's an awesome director.
I think so.
I think he directs material that he does not write successfully.
He does.
You know, like, and this film was basically James Gunn wrote this film. I just think the way it looks, it just completely took the film that it was a remake of to a completely different level.
Right.
Not to mention the opening credits of whoever the guy was that did the opening credits for this film.
Yeah.
Holy shit, like, with that Johnny Cash song, it just, it's awesome. Like,
it is.
What were you saying that's news to you?
Because I didn't know you were so down for remakes. I mean, I know you like when a remake is done well, but I didn't know that you enjoyed so much when, just in general, the possibility of that being done.
Terrible possibility. You can douse two bricks in water, put them in a freezer for a day, and clap my balls with those things. And I'd rather do that than watch a fucking remake.
I was wondering where you're going with that.
That took the longest time to set up.
It did.
I hate fucking remakes.
But not this one.
Not this one.
But you love this one. So there you go. Eat your words while you're
there. There aren't very many good ones.
No need for an egg sandwich. You just ate your words.
There aren't very many good ones. Name another horror remake that was good. Well, we said The Ring.
The Ring. That's two in our top... seven that we're talking about.
That's very true.
That were obviously really fucking good.
Yep.
Now, the next movie I'm going to put out there as on our list of, you know, that we've agreed on.
That we've agreed on.
It would be a remake. There is a remake in existence that let me down on every level possible. And that would be Nightmare on Elm Street.
All right.
Nightmare on Elm Street. Probably, there's maybe one or two other movies that I would say is my favorite horror movie of all time. I'll talk about them in a bit. But Freddy Krueger can give me my dreams. Wes Craven, Johnny Depp, the knives for fingers, like the striped sweater. Everything about that film, like just messed me up. Not, you know, messed me up as a kid. You know, the scene where Johnny Depp gets pulled into his bed.
Yeah.
You know, the scene where Tina's getting flung around the room and Rodney can see her, but
can't help
can't it. See Freddy. You know.
Yeah.
It's just like the one thing that Wes Craven tapped into with that film is the one place you think you're safe was your dreams, and it's like not even anymore.
Right.
So Nightmare on Elm Street, and then the remake of it I thought was horrible. Like, I was very excited for it.
So excited.
Sort of capable hands, I guess. I don't know. when I saw the early shots of like how Freddy looked, he looked like a little alien. Like it looked like crap.
Look like an alien.
Just nothing really in the remake. So there's an example of a remake that I would say, you know, I went in there judging heavy because this is one of my favorite horror movies, maybe even one of my favorite movies of all time, not just horror films. And Robert Englund, I mean, if he never did another thing in his life, he would be, you know,
he'd be set.
Cemented in history as Freddy Krueger. Whether or not he's okay with that, like, I guess you get, as an actor, you don't want to be only typecast as one guy, but I guess some of us never get known for anything, and if you could be Freddy Krueger, I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, it's I think the one thing that, he's an icon. Like, I think that's one thing, when you see those, we see that sweater.
Yeah.
Whether it's on Freddy Krueger or not, you're like, oh, that's a Freddy sweater.
Or just
sweater.
A nerd of the library, you're scared.
Was that a fedora he was wearing?
Am I dreaming right now?
Yeah.
A fedora, a sweater, and those, in that claws, like, when I was a kid, whenever I'd see them in like, any place that, like, a costume shop, I would be fearful that it would start moving and stab me. I just... Fear. That's all I remember being a kid. Freddy and fear.
Yeah.
Was definitely on my list, too.
Yeah.
And specifically, I love the first one as my favorite, but the third one was my second favorite. And the scene where the kid in the hospital is kind of like a puppet, and you can see his... like his veins or whatever are the strings and they're getting pulled out of his skin. Oh my God, that scene.
Yeah.
Still, when I see it, I know, I mean, it looks, to me now, it looks shitty compared to like new movies with the gore, but back then, oh my God, it's so scary.
Yeah, that's scary stuff. I even like the old, the like Freddy's Dead. I even like that. Wes Craven's New Nightmare. I love all of those. Like, he was such an amazing character that it didn't matter what he was in, it still amazed me.
No matter how cheesy the jokes got, right?
I even love Freddy versus Jason. I even love that movie. I love that movie.
You know, it's funny you mentioned about the jokes. Like, I feel like the first one, the reason that it really hit as hard as it did with the, especially the generation of teenagers that, you know, were at that age when it came out in the 80s, early 80s. In the first one specifically, he wasn't as cheesy as he got. So he was still really scary.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can see why they called him the boogeyman, you know, in all these stories or whatever, the man with the knives for hands. Like, he didn't have, like, that, you know, and I would say 3 is my second favorite Nightmare as well, to agree with you, but it's like, as the series went along, he got, like, hokier and hokier, and, like, he had literally, like, you were waiting for, like, what was Freddy's one-liner for this scene, you know? But in this one, there was really no mercy. Like, in a lot of the scenes, like, he was haunting, he was teasing, he was, you know, everything that made you realize you had no control over what was happening in your dream, like you usually could. And, you know, I just think, again, holding up, I can watch that movie any given day. Like, I could pop it in. I mean, I have the little Nightmare box set thing, and I can watch those movies. Right. I can watch them all, but, I mean, I could watch the first one, I mean, nonstop.
Definitely. It's a great movie, and I think that that's what the remake was going for, the tone of the first one, and now I hear that it failed. I actually didn't see the remake.
Yeah, you don't need to see it.
I don't think I hated it as much as you did. I definitely don't think that it, like, I definitely don't think that it did complete honor to the original, but I didn't think it was horrible, and I did like my biggest complaint and my only complaint that's like substantial is the CGI. I feel like, you know, guys, fix it with makeup. It looks so much better when somebody has taken the time to craft that stuff onto your face than it does to just fix it with a computer that doesn't move with the muscles of your face.
That's all it takes.
That's all it takes.
And also, to give it kudos where it's deserved, you need to realize anybody out there that like has loved any movie that New Line Cinema has ever released, you're talking all these Lord of the Ring films, Wedding Crashers, any film that they've had that's been a huge success, they all owe all the credit to Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
This was only the second film that New Line released as a studio, and it almost didn't get made. Bob Shea, at that point, you know, raised money, you know, personally to make this film. It almost never happened. And it's crazy to think that a little horror film like this that did catch on and created a franchise, and this was the first franchise for that studio, you know, 20 years, 30 years later, to think that it is what afforded, you know, filmmakers like Peter Jackson to make their names.
Yeah.
You know, comedians like Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson to make their names, you know, and probably, I mean, I think Lord of the Rings is, like, the biggest franchise behind probably Harry Potter in just terms of revenue. And it's because this movie got made. It's crazy if you think of perspective like that. That a little film about a guy that kills you in your dreams with knives for fingers is what let me, you know, get closer to Frodo.
See all these amazing movies. What makes me really sad, though, is, like, generationally, the current generation doesn't get to see, like, horror figures like that. Don't get to see Freddy's or Jason's or stuff like that.
Sure.
And because of that, you really don't get to have that movie experience that we used to have.
Yeah. When,
you know, of course, it was like towards the end of the franchises, but we still got to go to the movies to see those. They don't have that anymore. They don't have any scary figure like those people, so it sucks.
And sadly, it's probably because of a stupid movie that you're going to talk about a little later on your personal list. But I'm not going to go there.
Really?
I don't know. I'm just going to say
single-handedly?
I don't know. Oh, I wouldn't say single-handedly. I would say very heavily.
Get the...
What?
Get the fuck... Really?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll talk about it when you get to it.
What a bad.
So that actually, that's basically the collective list that we got, that we kind of got together and saw that we all shared for the most part. So now we're going to break it out and do a couple films as standalones that we had on our list that we didn't agree on. So why don't you go ahead and tell us about the horrible movie that you chose for your list.
So what I chose, the horrible movie from the abyss that I chose, was the first Saw.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. The first Saw, to me, was refreshing.
Okay.
It was scary.
Okay.
And I thought that the traps were fucking great. And the end was incredible. I thought that the pace of it was cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it introduced you to this world of this psycho that was trying to teach people lessons while simultaneously possibly destroying them. And I love the fact that they called back to, like, when they had an instance of a person that got set up by this person, they went back to their lives to kind of investigate why he chose this person to be who he wanted to put in the trap, to figure out their lives and find meaning in their lives through these traps. It was pretty dope. I mean, the first three were good, and then it went down the fucking tubes. But the first one, to me...
What do you think about that, Lauren?
Okay, I will agree with him that it was definitely different. It was a different kind of movie, and it was the story itself was different than anything I'd seen. But now it's so muddled with these crappy sequels that I don't know if I can remember how much I liked or didn't like. I wouldn't say that I hate it as much as Steve does. I guess I'm like the neutral party in this group, because I don't think that I hated it as badly as he did. And I think that if it were the only thing on, I would watch it now. Yeah. But I don't think that I would ever put it anywhere close to my top 10. Actually, last night, Brian asked me if I was going to put it on my top 10, and I said that wouldn't even make my top 25. So,
yeah. Sorry, Ronald. Look, I'll give you credit. The ending, very clever.
Come on.
Don't get me wrong. Come on. You know, very clever. So and good. And the concept itself is clever. Mm-hmm. And granted, I know it was a film that's made like on a budget, but I can never forget the one scene of Danny Glover driving. He's driving in the car to chase down whoever this fucking killer is. And there's literally like, they're just billowing like fog from a fog machine.
Yeah, it was.
It looked horrible. But I knew my big problem is partially what happened with the franchise. It literally was a license to print money for Lionsgate every Halloween.
Yeah.
And it paid off less and less.
It did pay off less.
You know, it's just like you just said, as it got worse. And I think it got way too much. I think the time that it came out, it needed the horror genre, like you just said, this generation did not have all these like
guys.
You know, serial or you know, boogeymen, whatever you call them. Like, so the time that it came out was an opportunity for that franchise, definitely. And it definitely seized it. So, you know, kudos to that. But I just didn't react to the film. If any of them, I can give the first one credit for having a clever twist, you know, and having an idea, a kind of interesting idea on a take for what a horror movie would be about.
Right.
But, not a fan. Not a fan. What else you got?
No, we're rotating.
We're rotating? Okay. We're rotating. Why don't you
so I can
there?
Judge you.
You're going to judge me?
I'm going to judge you.
All right. I'm going to do one that was on some of our lists, and that's the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake.
Oh.
And this is probably my favorite horror remake ever because people are going to hate me for this, but I hate the original. I think that the girl in the original was the most annoying girl ever. And literally, if you watch it, she is running and screaming the whole time. She's not resourceful at all, and you know, her friends get killed off, what, like 30, maybe 40 minutes in, and then the rest of the movie is her running and screaming, and, oh, God, I can't take it. I can't take it. But the new one, I love. I love Jessica Biel's character. I think that she is a great leading lady. I think she did a great job. I love I feel like for a slasher movie, which doesn't normally make me, slasher movies don't normally make me the scared, you know, the scared like the ghost movies make me, where it hits her closer to home. But I feel like I did get emotionally involved with these characters. I feel like, you know, when you see that wedding ring that when Leatherface gets Eric, you, or is it her, Kemper, her yeah. boyfriend Kemper, you know, you when you see the wedding ring, he knew he was going to propose or that kind of stuff. I felt like, or when she had to kill Eric when he was hanging and he only had one leg left, that...
You mean Andy?
Andy. I keep saying Eric. Andy. God, that scene. I just think that it was a great remake.
You're invested.
You are invested. You are invested.
Yeah, definitely.
There's another example. Fucking incredible remake. Fucking incredible. I would agree with Lauren. Like, I don't love the original Texas Chainsaw. It does not do anything for me.
It was terrible. I didn't like it.
And see, now this is a generational thing that I think is really important. Like, right. I feel like we're all similar ages, and people that are 10 years older than us, people that we know, would smack us for saying something like that.
It's also
right in the face.
Another thing that I really don't like. I don't like things that make fun or like make horror versions of real things that happen. Texas Chainsaw Massacre is based on a real event, which is kind of weird to me. That's weird to me. That makes me uncomfortable a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Hold up. I got to clear something up for you because I'm a stickler for this.
Uh-oh.
When stuff says based on a true story, that only means that part of it, like a small part of it. So the
Absolutely.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre is based on Ed Gein, who was a serial killer that happened to wear people's skin and
right.
eat their parts. But none of the chainsaw part, I'm just clearing this up for the listeners so they know
definitely.
There was no Texas Chainsaw Massacre. There just happened to be a serial killer. If you get the box set, you can watch the documentary on him, just saying.
But you know what I'm saying? It's like if somebody got killed and they're like, you know, I'm going to make a movie similar to that based on the same ideas. And then on this, that's weird to me. But let's talk about the remake. Okay. The colors in the remake were incredible to me. The fact that it was a dirty movie. Everybody was dirty. It was just a dirty setting.
I like that.
When they would show him when he was approaching people, like, it was gray and dark and colorless a lot of the
almost
scenes.
Almost like sepia, like
right,
that old-time
right.
photo.
The whole time. When you would see them hiding, it would be very dark and almost only black and white for a lot of those scenes. And the only color that you really got to see was the blood and like little things like shoe color and stuff like that.
Yeah, and everybody's wearing... Actually, now that I think about it, everyone's pretty much wearing like
white
jeans.
Yeah.
And
right.
Yeah, sometimes the lighting is like just moonlight. So you're right, it is kind of like black and white.
Yeah, and it's cool because when it first starts, you get to see the countryside and it's beautiful. And then as he comes, it gets gray and dark and ugly and dirty. And I love that about it.
I also love Jessica Biel.
I love Jessica Biel.
I love her too.
She's gorgeous.
Specimen.
Another cool thing too, like, again, I'm not a huge fan of the remake. I mean, of the original, I'm sorry. But it's kind of cool, like, if you do appreciate, like, the respect that it does demand among the horror community.
Right.
Like, the fact that John Larroquette, like, did the voiceover for the original and did the voiceover for this one.
Right.
Like, in the promotional stuff and in the beginning and ending of the film. Or the ending of the film. It's kind of cool that it's, like, you at least know that it respects the original.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it's not trying to, again, like, step on the toes of anything. Just like we talked about Dawn of the Dead, it's like, this is another take on something, and that's why I get excited sometimes about remakes. These kinds of films are the reasons that I can justify being down for it. I would say sign me up for it, but just with the preface that I'm going to judge the shit out of this movie.
Right.
You know,
and they had that scene in the complete dark. You remember that scene?
Which one?
Where it's like dark and they're like shuffling around and you can't see anything, but you can hear them.
Oh, right, yeah.
Oh my God. That was terrifying.
Every kill scene in the movie is awesome. Is awesome.
Right.
And the way it ends is awesome. I mean, it's just...
Nothing about it was goofy, which I love, too.
And again, my prior experience at the company I worked for, this was the film that screened really successfully.
Mm-hmm.
And on opening weekend, the first time I've ever heard where the movie theaters, like, I think it was General Cinemas or AMC at the time, they were distributing paper bags to people that were coming to see the film on opening weekend, because women and, you know, people were just like hyperventilating from how scary the movie was.
Yeah.
So that was ridiculous. The fact that the studio was sending paper bags to theaters because their movie was so scary.
Right.
Some people probably weren't that scared, but I mean, how urgent some of those scenes are, like the one you're talking about, like where, you know, she has to kill him because he's like hanging, he's gonna die anyway.
Right.
Or the first time we see Leatherface and he slams that door open and Mike Vogel's like trying to slip and he turns around, he's trying to run out.
Right.
It just it's like kind of giving me cold chills just talking about it.
Cool scene.
It's such a well shot scene, and I think oh man, good movie, good movie.
I made the huge mistake of taking my teenage friend at the time. You know, I was kind of like a big sister to her. And I, you know, she was like, I want to go. And she was old enough to go, but she literally, with her head in her lap the whole time, she made me spend the night. She made me, you know, I babysat her. It was terrible. I felt so bad.
Yeah.
So she probably needed a paper bag.
Good story.
Good story.
Cool story, bro.
Cool story.
All right, I'm going to throw Scream out there. Scream, you know, I don't know. I know I've talked about Scream a bunch on the show, so I'm not going to dwell too much on it.
Mm-hmm.
Just as a mention, I feel like Scream, when I saw it the first time in a theater, there was two people. It was like, or three people, me, my mom, and my friend. And it was like one of those movies that took off based off of word of mouth. And again, a movie that revitalized the genre, you know, kind of turned it on its ear, you know, almost making fun of what the expectations were for the genre. And just the twist at the end, and just like how many references to movies, horror films that we've even talked about on the show tonight, you know, that there are in this film. It just, God, I can't say enough positive things about Scream 1. The sequels, again, go downhill as you move. Scream 2, I thought, actually was pretty good. 3 and 4, not so much. But Scream with Ghostface, how simple that mask is, but how scary it is, and just how the characters, you know, like Randy and Stu and Billy and just all these people and Dewey, and it's just such a rich film. And again, a movie that almost didn't get made. You know, it's just crazy to read stuff like that when you read the little tidbits about movies or watch the DVD special features or Blu-ray special features, and you hear about these movies that almost didn't even get a shot.
Right.
And like they end up being some of the best movies of all time, you know, for a genre.
I like the first Scream a lot.
Yeah.
Don't like the last one. Is that the fourth one?
Yeah, no, they're not good.
I didn't really like the fourth one, but the first one, yeah.
It was depressing how not good it was for those of us that waited 10 years.
A huge build-up, 10 years later, waiting for
right.
It to kick ass at the movie theater midnight, and it farted all over the place.
Not so much. It just kicked me in the balls. Yeah. Wasn't.
with the cinder blocks again? Is that what it was?
Cinder blocks. Clap my balls with cold cinder blocks, yes.
All right, what else? Let's make another round.
Okay.
Of what else you got?
Mine was very off the beaten path in terms of popularity, but I chose Behind the Mask, which is basically a movie that was made about a guy that is like a psycho slasher. And this assumes that Jason and Freddy and all the slasher killers existed. And this guy is in this town called Glen Echo. And a documentarian follows him around, and basically he shows basically how he would do things if he were a killer, which he is, and some of the secrets of some of the killers like Jason and how he went about kind of conquering some of the areas that he was in. And it was a really cool movie. It came out 2006. Incredible. Like, I think that if you want to see something that's very different than most things that you've ever seen, and it's kind of documentary style, which I think is kind of overdone nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
This is a little different. Behind the Mask is a great movie. So
cool. Yeah, I've seen it. I'd recommend it too.
Yeah.
Haven't seen it.
Do you have anything else you want to throw out there? Any films you had listed?
The only other one that I had listed alone was not scary, but I think it was worth mentioning because, as we talked about the zombies before, and all the friend groups have their own zombie survival plan.
Yeah.
Zombieland, I loved Zombieland, and I feel like it's a fun movie to watch at Halloween, especially maybe if you're not into horror movies, but you can stand a little bit of gore. Good one to watch, not too heavy, and I just think it's a lot of fun zombie stuff. The rules that pop up on the screen, I love that because, I mean, like I said, all the friend groups have their zombie survival rules, and it's just the perfect, fun, crazy movie.
Definitely. Zombieland, not usually, I mean, you're right, it's like not like a traditional, like, oh yeah, this is a horror film, but it is, I guess, because it's zombies, but it's so much fun.
That's a moment.
Yeah, you know, it has moments where it's kind of creepy and scary, but it's just a lot of fun to watch over and over again.
I love the fact that it took place after the chaos was taking place, which is also crazy.
Yeah, we're kind of just like, you dropped, know what I mean?
It's
into
like dropped into it rather than it kind of developing. I thought that was really cool.
And the last one I want to say, I mean, we can throw a couple just names out there when we get done this one, but I would be embarrassed not to mention, as one of my all-time favorite horror films, the original Halloween. Okay. Again, talking about John Carpenter, basically making a career for Jamie Lee Curtis, Donald Pleasance as, you know, Mr. Loomis or Dr. Loomis. I feel like when you talk about the boogeyman, you know, again, a movie that references the character as the boogeyman or the shape, however you want to call him, Michael Myers is the guy that, you know, if you see his mask come in, you don't want to be anywhere near it. And it's a weird thing about this series that, like, some of the sequels I actually like quite a bit. Like, later on, like, 4 and 5, I especially, like, really like with...
Which one was Jason Goes to Manhattan?
That's Friday the 13th, so we're talking about a different movie right now. God damn
we're talking
you,
about
Ronald.
Michael Myers, Ronald.
God damn you, Ronald.
We need to have flashcards. We need to have pictures.
I'm going to have, like, a script for you.
I seriously get those confused. I know that sounds crazy.
This is Halloween with Michael Myers.
Right.
I love the look of Haddonfield in the film, just the town, the way it looks like. It's quaint. It's Main Street USA. Leaves and pumpkins all over the place. And Laurie Strode is just this perfect high school, pure teenager that is our heroine, and she's saving the day. And just the kill scenes, and I mentioned it last week with Paranormal, like the ode to, or the little nod to, the scene in the film where he has the sheet on as the ghost that the boyfriend was doing prior, and it's not the boyfriend, it's like the boyfriend's dead, it's Michael Myers.
Stabs the shit out.
You know, there's a little scene in Paranormal Activity 3 that they kind of talk or kind of tip their hat to that. But I think anybody that makes a horror movie, any filmmaker, and not being a filmmaker at all, but you'd be a jerk not to mention, I feel like, Halloween as being an influential film, if not, like, one of your favorites, just because of what it did for that slasher genre.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even before, you know, all these crazy sequels came out, and, you know, it with, like, Nightmare on Elm Street, and even if you want to talk about Friday the 13th, those types of films and franchises for their respective studios, you know, bankrolled pretty much tons of other horror films that came out and even spawned some crappy ripoffs, some decent ones. But, yeah, and the fact that it's like a mold of William Shatner's face always makes me laugh. Did you know that?
No.
Michael Myers' mask, like, they made that off of a mold of William Shatner's mask. One of the costume people got at, like, a Five and Dime store. Yeah, it's like weird. Like, they stripped it down, and but it's William Shatner's face, apparently.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a cool
He's a scary guy as himself. Like, he is William a scary Shatner, guy. But, to be a horror icon, I guess it's kind of cool, too.
I guess we should mention some of the movies that we think are worthy of kind of going on the list that kind of didn't make it. One of the ones that I wanted to mention was Alien, which Steve fought me about.
I didn't fight you.
You fought me.
I didn't fight you.
With a strong F.
I didn't fight you.
This is the thing.
I just threw something at you.
Here's the thing. Sci-fi horror.
I see it more sci-fi. Horror.
This is the thing.
That's all.
It was a sci-fi movie that had horror elements. It was horror. This alien was killing people.
It is very horrific what happened in that film.
Right.
But it did happen in space.
It should. So it's in space, so it doesn't make it a horror film?
It makes it a sci-fi film.
It's sci-fi horror. It's horror that takes place.
I'm fine with you choosing it. I just personally don't think of Alien as a horror film as much as I think of it, if the thing
took place in space, that wouldn't be a horror film? Get the F out of here.
No, you make a strong point. But it didn't take place in space. Let's just keep ourselves grounded in Antarctica.
So that makes it...
I think it was slightly sci-fi-y because it was science-like stuff happening in the thing.
What?
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
They were aliens, guys. Alien. No, alien? The thing. Because you're going to tell me you can't pick Alien because it's sci-fi.
No, you can pick Alien.
Okay.
I just don't see it as big as horror. You asked why I didn't pick it. And I didn't pick it because I don't like Alien as much as Aliens.
So I can't
have that precede the sequel, which I feel is a better film. But I just, you know, I think of it more of a sci-fi film.
Okay.
But I mean, you know, it's an awesome movie. Don't get me wrong. Let's make a sci-fi podcast and then I'll talk about it.
All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, I'll throw out Let the Right One In.
Oh yeah.
/ Let Me In.
Okay.
So you can pick either one in my opinion because they're both freaking awesome.
You're gonna just mesh them together.
Let's go ahead and talk about remakes again because I think this remake is awesome. As good, if not better. In different ways. Right. I fucking love, like, the tone of the remake a little more than I like the tone of the original. And, I mean, obviously it has a different feel to it. The director went a little bit different with it. I love, like, all the 80s references in the remake. I mean, I know that they're there in the original. But, I don't know, man. Like, it's just... The idea of, like, a young girl as a vampire and this young boy that just longs for any kind of relationship.
Right.
It just, you know, you find it in the most unlikely of places, and it's just, like, the repercussions that it has. And the scene in the pool, in the remake or the original, the scene when she saves him in the pool and you just see those bodies being dragged through the water.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's
like,
amazing
just amazing, like, shot. And, you know, if I pick, you know, random horror movie scenes, not even just films, that'll always be a scene. Like, that kid underwater... You know, and then you see, like, the bottom halves drop in and drag, and then, like, an arm falls in the water. I'm like, she just
destroyed them.
Destroyed this whole gym or this whole pool.
It was a really good movie.
I mean, I don't know. I just think that I know a lot of people. I remember, like, when that movie was announced, because, like, the original film, I don't know, is it? I don't know if it's, like, is it a Dutch film, the original? I'm not sure which country
it might
it's
be
from.
Norwegian, too. That might be
is that what it, is?
It might be Swedish.
Swedish?
I feel like it might be Swedish.
Whatever it is, when it got announced that it was being remade,
I did not want to hear
right,
that.
Right, like, everybody
pissed.
Has that reaction to it. But I mean, it just, man, Matt Reeves, the guy that directed it, I think he did a kick-ass job. And I would recommend, if you haven't seen the original, definitely still see it.
Right.
But Let Me In, the one with, you know, I think Chloe Moretz is the little girl, and who else? The guy, Richard Jenkins is in it. Elias Koteas is in it. Mm. Just like random actors that are awesome. Richard Jenkins is awesome, period. But Let Me In is, God, I love that movie. It came out like not even what, like a year or two ago?
Yeah.
I've seen it like 10 times.
Wow.
I have it on DVD. I like throw it on TV like when I go to bed and scare the shit out of my girlfriend.
Why is it that they don't even let the original rest for like 5 years? They're just like, fuck it, let's make an American one.
I mean, I mean, it's like if it's successful in one place, it's like the idea is why wouldn't it be a success elsewhere?
Right.
That, I mean, that's just the fact of the matter. If it works in this town or this country, let's make it here. Just like, you know, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, all that whole series. And I mean, Fincher's version that's coming out at Christmas looks fucking awesome.
It does look awesome.
And the original is awesome as well. And I'm sure that it's going to do nothing but help how I feel about the original.
Just,
we'll talk about that remake when that comes out.
Right. I cannot wait to talk about that.
I'm going to change you over.
Maybe you will.
Remake lover.
But I'm just saying, there's a million remakes that come out. This is like 10 good ones that we've mentioned.
Touche.
There's a lot of bad ones.
There's a ton of bad ones.
Actually, one that I wanted to mention, I've mentioned this movie a couple of times, and I hate to mention it again, but Record.
Oh, my God.
So good. So sexy.
It's like the fourth podcast.
So well shot.
Mentioned it on.
But the remake was terrible.
I never saw either one.
What was it called?
I didn't know there was
Quarantine.
A remake.
Quarantine, yeah.
Quarantine was a remake of Record.
Yeah.
And
that movie, was bad.
It was bad.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's bad.
You know, my birthday was 2 weeks ago. You should have bought me that damn DVD.
I should have bought you it. Should have bought you it.
You could tell me so many times to watch it.
I obviously refuse to.
No, I will.
I'm going to have to force it on you.
Yeah. What else?
You have anything
you want to throw out there?
It's actually on your list, but I'm going to steal it. The Orphanage.
The Orphanage.
Oh my God. We saw it together. We saw it together. I hated you because I was, like, home alone at the time. My roommates were in Spain. I was terrified. And that movie, oh, God, it hits you hard. The ending is insane.
Yeah, it's pretty
and
crazy.
People, do not be too lazy to read subtitles. Sometimes
right.
those
you know how
are the
I
best.
Feel about that.
I hate people that don't like
oh
to read subtitles.
God. If you can't read subtitles, you just fucking... I don't even know where to go, man.
Right. Such
it
a
makes
good
me
movie.
Angry. And even my friends, they're like, oh, man, you got to see this movie. Oh, where's it playing? You know, it's playing downtown at the Art House Cinema. Does that mean it's got subtitles?
I mean, subtitles. I don't read that shit.
I'm going to stay home and watch some Jeff Dunham or something like that. You know? I'd rather watch a puppet talk to me.
That movie was not only scary, it pulls your heartstrings.
It does.
Yeah, man.
Some sad parts in that movie.
It's so tense the whole time.
So good.
I think Guillermo del Toro, was he involved?
Yeah,
in
he was
didn't direct it, but
he produced it or something
like
that.
Yeah, yeah, produced it.
So anything he has a hand in except for the other one. Don't Be Afraid of the Dark.
Horrible.
Not good. Orphan, I did have it on my list as, you know, I don't know where it falls, maybe honorable mention, but I remember seeing it and it was like, it definitely... the kid with the sack on it. Oh man, like the. Oh my god. I just thought of a movie when I just said the word sack.
What? Freddy got fingered?
No. I went the other way with it. The Strangers.
Oh, my God. How did we... Nobody had that on their list. Holy shit.
That movie was... When I saw it, I was...
Dude, I wish you all could see our faces right now.
We have to re-record this whole podcast.
We just shared a collective, like...
When I saw that movie... When I saw that movie...
It was just the trailer.
The trailer, yeah. I imagine being in a house... And having it was a movie shook me up.
The trailer itself was enough to just scare the shit out of you. When they walks into that shot with Liv Tyler and he's behind her in the dining room and she has no clue
the dudes.
And we talked about The Strangers when we recorded our first ever podcast with Insidious, like the way that music played in with the record player and it looping and skipping. It has its faults, but I mean, like, overall, that movie is fucking scary.
It is.
Like, friends of mine literally won't watch that movie. Like, we literally put it on and they'll turn and face the other wall.
One friend.
But it's one friend still. And that's just in my small group of friends.
Forgot about Strangers.
God, The Strangers. I said, I think of that kid with the burlap sack or whatever that sack was on his face in the orphanage.
Right.
And I was like, oh my God.
And then the guy that just had the sack on his face.
Oh my God, like, how did we not say The Strangers? We were so unprepared for life.
There's so many movies. It's just too stressful.
This is just the surface, guys. We're not going to the grave with these.
Oh, High Tension.
High Tension, yeah.
High Tension, foreign movie. Great, 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 great movie. I think that most people have not seen it. I don't know anybody that's seen it.
Besides, I've seen High Tension, yeah.
You and you.
Yeah,
I mean, but really, one of those unrelenting movies. I think that it's good when something starts off intense and it ends the same way. The piano scene.
Oh, yeah.
One thing I do like about scary leads, like the people that are just slaughtering people, is that when they kill them, it's like death. Go to the next person, kill them, go to the next person. I love unrelenting, scary leads. Like, yeah. I love that. If the person isn't like that, I kind of get bored. Because it makes me feel like I could escape.
Yeah.
High Tension felt like it was one of those situations that was so chaotic that I couldn't even get out of it. Like, I'm like, whoa, you could go out of the window, but they would bust your head open with something.
It's weird. That's one of the movies. I definitely am a big fan of that film. But it also is, like, I feel like it's kind of a horror film that's really polarizing. Like, I feel like everyone that I know either loves it or hates it.
Right, yeah.
Because I feel like you have to completely... Oh, man. Because not to give away the movie, but, like, you have to completely commit to this film. And when you find out what the ending is, you have to be able to think back and make sense of it.
Right.
And, like, some people are just, like...
Very cerebral.
Really, come on. Like...
Yeah,
they just don't commit to it,
right.
And that's one of the most common things. Like, that's one of those movies that there are movies I can think of, you know, in the past 5-10 years that are like that. Like, I either loved it or hated it, and most people I know were one or the other. There's no real gray area with it. Like, you may like some pieces of the film, but it's like one of those ones. Every time I recommend it to someone, if they've already seen it, like, it's yes or no to it.
Right.
Or if they go to see it, it's like yes or no. It's not like it was good or I liked it. It was like I really liked it or that movie was horrible.
They had a crazy twist. I mean, the twist was
the twist. You have to
not normal. Know. It was like, what the fuck.
Yeah.
So you're right. It's one of those movies. It's either you want to watch it again to see the little things that you missed, or you're like, fuck this fucking movie, and I hope it dies. And no one ever knows about it. I've definitely had.
He's so dramatic.
He's so dramatic. Well, it's because if you notice, like, it's almost like when the movie that we saw today, right? When people don't like it, they get crazy. They get like that. They're like, oh, fuck this fucking movie.
Yeah.
And I'm wasting my life. I think it's just to make fun of people that act like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they get so weird about shit. To me, it's an experience. It's a good experience. Even if you see if you suggest a horror film to me and I'm like, it was all right. I wouldn't say, you wasted my life. On it. That's just way too dramatic. So that's why.
The other thing, most people I recommend this movie to, I force them to watch the subtitled version instead of the dub version, really? Which is weird to watch.
The subtitled version is terrible.
You mean the dub version.
The dubbed version. Yeah, the dubbed version is terrible.
Man, you cannot speak.
I know.
Boy.
I can't speak.
It's past your bedtime, Ronald.
You know why? Because the dubbed version I saw was like a mix of dubbing and a bootleg that was.
There's a weird.
Yeah, it was like dubbing and subtitles.
No, but the U.S. dubbed version that was on DVD is stupid.
With, like,
If you've seen the original with the subtitles and like watch them, if you're that have that much time on your hands, right, and watch them side by side, I think,
right,
it literally changes like big sections of the dialogue of the film.
Did you ever hear the Swedish dub? It's like a Swedish person reading it in English. No. It's like, oh my goodness, what are you doing? It's like
they're reading it in English.
Yeah, they're reading it in English
with an accent.
So with an accent, so it's really hard to follow. It's like the weird dubbing with a Swedish accent. Very hard to watch.
Really random.
I hate dubbing.
One last thing that I'm going to throw out there, because I know, we apologize for this running long. We've tried to revitalize our show by keeping the short format, and we apologize to those of you out there who...
This is a special.
Yeah, but this is a special episode. Right. Halloween comes once a year, and so does this episode. So, the last one I want to throw out there is kind of a 1-2 punch, and it's going to be Blair Witch Project.
Oh, okay.
And Paranormal Activity.
All right.
Mainly, I threw them together because of the whole found footage, you know, shaky cam, hand shot. This is what happened. Like we get cue cards. We get, you know, a lot of really cool marketing. You know, these both those films, the marketing was ridiculous.
Right. Blair Witch.
Let's be honest. Like Blair Witch was the first, right? Months and months before. Like being from Maryland and seeing the posters of the theaters that said whatever it said about Burkittsville.
Right.
You know. Everyone bought into it. There are probably still people listening to this that probably don't even know that it wasn't real.
You're right.
You know, absolutely. It was so effective at selling you on the actual, we talked about like based on real story or true events. That movie made its legacy because it worked. Like, because everyone believed it. And like I said, some people probably still do.
Right.
And I mean, and Paranormal in a different way, like, you know, and the reason I'm going to give it, you know, even more kudos is because it kind of killed your Saw franchise. Sorry about that.
It did.
I'd rather watch these movies than Saw movies any year. But, you know, it kind of was another step into that whole thing, like the found footage, that it actually worked and it was effective. It was very minimal.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't anything excessive. Wasn't anything over the top that I didn't need to see or even hear or know about. It was just enough to keep me interested and then just enough to deliver when it scares me, you know, or that moment, like at the end of Blair Witch, that last shot of Blair Witch haunted me, you know, gave me a nightmare. Like, that's very rare.
Right.
You know, because all that buildup and all that creepy shit, and then it's that realization of, oh my God, he is standing in the corner with his back to her and the camera just dropped.
Right.
Fuck me.
The camera dropping was petrifying. I think it's cool when... Found footage stuff is it's a weird thing because it has to be done well enough and paced well enough that you believe that you're in that world.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the viral stuff that was going around, everybody believed that shit was real.
Yeah.
Or if you were sitting next to Steve in the theater and you didn't know anything about the movie before you saw it, and he was telling you it was real, that could also have made you think that maybe you were watching something real.
You're talking about Paranormal.
I'm talking about Paranormal. Yeah. My friend, Steve, decided to keep me going until the very last scene that it possibly was real.
Right. Isn't that worth it? Didn't it scare the shit out of you?
It is pretty scary.
And I thought that we had a great movie-going experience for that one because the entire theater was silent. The tension was building. Nobody was speaking. Nobody's kids were acting crazy. And it was, as a collective group of however many people were in that theater, we were going through what they were going through.
Right.
And I love that that those two movies both don't force any, like, it doesn't force any scares on you that aren't realistic to make it seem like this is really happening.
Sure.
Right, definitely. It was definitely a great movie. I think it was significantly better. I think Paranormal Activity was significantly better than Blair Witch, but Blair Witch had to have existed for Paranormal to have the depth that it did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it was like, it's the same thing with, like, Let the Right One In. Like, if you didn't see how this was presented the first time, then you couldn't have given it the depth that it had the second time around. And this is definitely one of those things that you could tell that Paranormal Activity borrowed a lot of things from Blair Witch in terms of setting the mood and the camera movements and all that stuff. But it's a great movie. There's another shaky cam movie that I wanted to mention that I cannot fucking find. It's about another exorcism where they compared the live footage to the...
Fourth Kind.
Fourth Kind. I like that.
Not a fan.
You didn't like Fourth Kind?
I can say I liked it a little bit, but...
Right. I thought it was worth mentioning it, at least.
Yeah, I know the audience I saw that with just... I mean, as a side note, they were like... It definitely was really effective.
Yeah.
I didn't really relate to it. I love alien movies and alien abduction movies, right, and that's obviously where that film was going. But it got kind of weird for me.
I liked it.
But I don't know. That's kind of pretty much our list. I mean, I know that's like really kind of scattered. We had the seven that we all agreed on and kind of threw out some, you know, stragglers.
Sleep Exorcist? I know it's like...
We didn't.
I didn't mean to like...
And I'm fucking okay with that.
I didn't mean to like mention this right at the end, but...
Yeah, you did.
Exorcist. Yeah.
Do you like it?
No, not really.
See, me either.
I mean, but it's worth mentioning just because, like...
I don't think so. Because you know what? Like, that's just, like, let's give respect to where respect is due and whatever, like... Okay, if you want to, like, be proper, okay, yeah, right, right. You're such if a good movie.
You don't want to be a dick about
it. Like, I know, like, the exorcism stuff and possession stuff, all that shit, like, kind of freaks you out,
It
Lauren.
Does freak me out. But The Exorcist, for some reason... over time has gotten less effective on me, and maybe I'm going to rewatch it. I'm going to rewatch it and report back.
I was thinking about that too.
Because yeah. I do feel like it's maybe you just had to be a little bit more religious to be scared. Not that I'm like a weird churchy person, sorry, but
right, yeah.
You know, it's
yeah,
not. I think that the more religious you are, the more scary it is to you, but then if you're really that religious, you're probably not watching it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's never had an effect on me. Like when I was younger, and I've rewatched it since then, like every time, like. The film institutes or whoever that's the really important critics out there, like they release their films of the, you know, the scariest movies all the time. It's like always number one or two, you know? And it's just, I just don't get it. Like, it doesn't scare me at all.
It was one of those Jaws. It had that Jaws effect.
Yeah.
Get to see.
That's true.
Apparently, like, when it first came out, like, it like shut shit down. Like, people were petrified of anything religious, anything like that, because they were scared of exorcisms and heads turning around and people walking backwards. And
I think it's the body bending stuff that freaks me out. I don't even like circus folk. They shouldn't bend like that.
They're not built to go that way.
Nothing's supposed to bend the way it's not supposed to bend.
Yeah, that was very, very deep what you just said there.
I won't even go to Cirque du Soleil. Sorry.
Okay. So anybody out there trying to take Lauren to Cirque du Soleil?
Don't do it.
Don't buy the tickets because they're non-refundable. But yeah, I don't know. Exorcist, not a... Yeah, whatever. You can hate me. Okay. Not you specifically, but anybody
yeah,
listening.
I guess
I can give it its credit because everybody like that grew up then or saw it when it came out. It was a game changer, kind of like Jaws was. But it just never had an effect on me. And maybe I do need to rewatch it again. I've rewatched it in the past 5 years and it didn't do it. But, you know, maybe I don't know. Maybe I'll just go live my life.
I think we're going to have a horror movie marathon.
Yeah?
Right
yeah.
now. Let's
maybe.
Do it.
But I think that's going to be it. I don't. Do you have any other things you want to throw out there, Ronald, to stop me from ending this podcast so people can go live their lives?
No, I'm glad we shut down the Exorcist thing because I was a little afraid about that.
I wouldn't be afraid.
Fuck that fucking movie.
With our powers combined, they can't stop us.
They can't stop our hatred for that movie.
Yeah, whatever, man.
Do you need the bricks again? Yeah, the iced bricks.
Slap my brick balls with cold bricks than to watch that dirty-ass movie.
That's three times with those bricks. We can all just assume that there would be no children in your future.
Right. My balls would be
poor, poor world. No little Ronalds in the world.
Just mushy at this point.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening to this this special Halloween episode. Next week, we'll probably get back to our standard format with, you know, the lean and mean 30-minute one. So if you've listened this far, it really is awesome that you stuck with us for the whole episode.
Thank you. Thank you.
And thank you, Lauren, for hanging out with us.
Thanks for having me.
Greatly appreciate it.
I know you were excited to be on here and have been asking me about it for a while, and I figured this was a good choice.
We'll talk about our next movie after we shut this down.
Yeah. But, yeah, we'll be back next week, and if you want to recommend us, as always, through iTunes or however you're listening to us, and feel free to email us at movieschmovie@gmail.com if you have some thoughts on... any thoughts on what we said, and if you want to email us about how much you love The Exorcist, just don't. Just save your email, because we're going to delete
Falling
it.
Upon deaf ears. We'll probably laugh at it and delete it.
I will delete it, yeah. I won't even let you see it. But yeah, thanks guys so much for listening, and as always, you've made our day. Take care.
Bye. Bye-bye.